Thank you to the worship team for leading us in worship. We appreciate very much that they are here to do that with us. And I came across, or maybe I should back up about this a little bit, is that I read the news early in the morning. I read the news. It's not always the best thing to do in the morning, because when I read the news in the morning, I get grumpy. Why do I get grumpy? I get grumpy because, well, it's the news. And it just irritates me so often, stuff in the news, what is happening in the world around us. And so Pearl and I had this conversation a little while back that I shouldn't read the news early in the morning because I just, it's not a good way to set the tone for the day. But I did come across this article on Saturday. And I thought, you know, this is so good. This fits into today, Mother's Day. And so I have to read it to you. It was on the news. It was published Saturday. Saturday is when it was published, Saturday afternoon. It goes as follows. Jillian O'Connor doesn't want breakfast in bed or flowers or gifts for Mother's Day. What she really wants is just a little more time. O'Connor has been living with incurable breast cancer for 4 years. She was diagnosed with an aggressive form of the disease when she was just 16 weeks pregnant with her third child. By then, the cancer had already spread to her lymph nodes and liver. Though it was treatable, it was not curable. Her oncologist, Dr. Mark Clemens, created a treatment plan that allowed O'Connor to continue her pregnancy using chemotherapy that did not cross the placenta. Her son Declan was born healthy, weighing 7 pounds, 6 ounces. O'Connor recently turned 35, and though her cancer has spread to her bones and brain, she is happy to be defying her doctor's predictions. "I never thought I would get here when they gave me 2 years to live," she told CTV Ottawa this week. Knowing that on any day her situation could change, O'Connor says she's learned to appreciate every moment with her children. "I'm thankful for every day I'm here, whether it's a good day or a bad day. I'm just so happy to be here, to be a wife, to be a mother, to be alive," she says. Dr. Clemens says he continually marvels at O'Connor's strength of spirit. "Jillian is a stunning individual," he said. "Not only does she carry her family forward, she carries many of my patients forward as well." "Jillian knows what's important in life," he continued. "Life is not about the trivial things that people get so worked up about. Life is about family. And on Mother's Day, what more can we ask for than family?" O'Connor offers this advice to other parents this Mother's Day weekend. "Enjoy your children, no matter how hard it gets. Just enjoy them and love them every single moment." I thought, wow, that is so good advice and so encouraging. And so that I just had to share that with you. This morning, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture from Acts chapter 16. And of course, it's Mother's Day. And in the 9:30 service, it's interesting. My mother passed away a little over 15 years ago. And any of you who have a loved one who has passed away, you know that sometimes that grieving just happens, right? It just, you can't hold it back. It just happens. And this morning, I had difficulties, you know, because I guess I was reflecting on some of my mother, like my mother's life in the message. And so this, you know, but I think I'm okay now. But it's just interesting how that is. You know, my mother passed away a little over 15 years ago. You know, just the profound effect that she had on my life, how she contributed to my life. And then, you know, how that grief, even years later, is still there. And it's just part of life because we have loved. That's what it is. Well, this morning we're looking at God's Word, Acts chapter 16, 11 to 15. And the reason why we're doing this is because in some ways I want to tie it into Mother's Day. We all have a mother. Everyone has a mother. It's amazing how that works. You know, God's plan is what it is. Everyone has a mother. Some of us remember our mothers. Others of us, well, maybe we never knew our birth mother. Some of us were brought up by grandmothers. Some of us by aunts. Some of us by someone else that became to us a mother. Some of us have multiple mothers in life. Individuals that have contributed so much to our life. Individuals that have loved us. And of course, it's Mother's Day, and we want to honor mothers. And so we're going to tie this together with God's Word, but it's really for all of us that are here this morning. My mother was a very special woman. My mother was the oldest of three children. Her father died when she was young. I remember her telling me stories about her father. Her father had TB, and he died when she was quite young. My mother was the oldest of three. She had two brothers. And so my mother was this older sister. And my mother and her mother kind of worked together to bring up the other two in the family. And so we could say that my mom grew up in a single-parent home is what she did. And my mother grew up at a very, very difficult time. It was during the war years. And so if you think of that and you think of a single mom and bringing up three children, you know, and my mom then, you kind of get a picture of difficult times. Food was hard to come by during those times. And my mom and grandma, they would tell me a story of my grandma, what she managed. She took care of this army individual. He was quite high in the military. He had a dog, and the dog was of such great value to him. Anyways, my grandma would take care of this dog, and that was basically how she fed my mom and two brothers. That was key in some of that during that time. But my mother encouraged me, because through this all, my mom and my grandma would talk about their faith. It was such an important part of their life, their faith. And of course, you know, in that area of faith, it transferred, we could say, in a way, or at least it caught my attention. My mother was a woman of faith, and she knew the power of prayer. When my dad was sick and later on died, my mom would write down on a piece of paper us kids, our names and stuff like that, so my dad could pray for us. And every morning she made sure that they had a family altar time. It was key. It was so important. My mother was a woman of faith, and I appreciate that so, so much. Acts chapter 16, there we're going to see a woman of faith. The strangest thing, but a woman of faith who has had such powerful influence. Acts chapter 16, 11 to 15. We kind of jump in a little bit, but I'll help you in a moment to get the background. Beginning with verse 11, it says, "So setting sail from Troas," Luke, of course, is writing the book of Acts, and he's writing about Paul and the expansion of the church and those that were involved in it. So when he says, "So setting sail for Troas, we made a direct voyage," Luke means Paul himself and a couple of other traveling companions. "So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in the city some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' And she prevailed upon us." Well, what we just read really all began with a vision. A vision. Paul and his team of church planters, They were trying to push into Asia. They were trying to plant churches in that direction. But the doors kept being closed. In other words, God was kind of putting up a barrier, a wall, and they couldn't go. And then one night, Paul had a vision. And in the vision, he saw a man from Macedonia. And the man of Macedonia, he was calling out to them. And he said, come over to Macedonia and help us. Paul and his traveling companions, Paul listens to God. When God says something, Paul does it. And we should do the same, really, to be honest. If we hear God calling us or telling us to do something, we better do it. There's a lesson right there. But that's not what we're going to look at the moment. But that's a lesson. So Paul and his traveling companions immediately change course. Instead of heading into Asia, they head towards Macedonia. And as him and his traveling companions, they arrive in Philippi. It's a city. It's a Roman colony. It's a Roman city. They arrive there. And when they get there, they find out that there is no synagogue in Philippi. Now, this is important. You might not know this right away, but you will in a moment's time. You see, Paul's church planting strategy was pretty simple. Every place where Paul went, the first thing that he would do is go to the synagogue. Why did he do that? Because at the synagogue, there were people that were interested in God. And so he would go there and tell them about Jesus. It makes sense, isn't it? If you want to plant churches, or if you want to share your faith with someone, go somewhere where someone is first talking about God, right? That's a good start, right? And that's exactly what Paul did. Paul, every chance he did, would go to the synagogue, and there he would talk to them about Jesus, telling them about Jesus. Sometimes those in the synagogue would believe, and he would be able to stay there longer and teach. Sometimes some would believe and others wouldn't. Sometimes he would have to leave. But that was his strategy. And so when he got to Philippi, there's no synagogue there. What that means is for a synagogue to exist, 10 Jewish, active Jewish men would have to be there in that city. Those that are active in their faith. So it tells us that there weren't even 10 faithful Jews in that city. It was really a pagan, a Gentile city is what we find. So what happens next is Paul does something that, again, would be kind of custom. A custom we don't know right now. It's a custom that would be different than our custom. You see, water and worship were closely connected. The washing, the cleansing, the water. And so the next thing that was done is you would look for water. And so Paul, on the Sabbath day, he leaves the city and goes to the river and looks for people that are worshiping. And he finds a group of women. He finds a group of women gathered together praying. A small group, but they're praying. And Paul, with his traveling companions, sit down. And they begin to tell the gospel story. I imagine that Paul begins first with God sending Jesus. That Jesus came from heaven, but he entered our world through a virgin by the name of Mary. That Jesus was born fully man, fully God, a mystery. And then I would imagine that Paul continues as he's telling the story of Jesus. He tells the women about how Jesus healed people. How he healed the lame, how he healed the sick, the blind. Probably he even told them about how Jesus freed people from demons. That even the demons listened and obeyed Jesus. And people were led to freedom. Then I would imagine that Paul gets to where he tells them that Jesus was crucified on a cross. And that he was buried. And that on the third day he rose. And that many people saw Jesus alive. When we go back to the scripture text, what we find there is that as Paul is telling the gospel story, God is at work in Lydia's life. and her heart is beginning to be opened. And she's listening. I would imagine that she's probably on the edge of her stone, you know, not a chair because they're beside the river, you know. So she's listening and she's right on the very edge of that, listening to what Paul is saying. And then I think Paul must have said, Lydia, God did this all so that our sins could be forgiven and that we could be restored into right relationship with Him for eternity. Remember, Lydia is not a Jew. Well, maybe I didn't tell you that yet. Lydia is not a Jew. She's a Greek. She's a Roman. She's not a Jew. But she's there. She's there gathered with other women and they're praying. She's seeking God. She's hungry for God. And then Paul says, Lydia, any person can receive forgiveness from God. Any person can be born again if they believe in Jesus. Baptized, the Holy Spirit fills them, and the power of God is present. And it tells us in our passage that Lydia believed, and she was baptized, and her entire household. Why is the story of Lydia so important? Why is this story found here in the Scriptures? Who is this Lydia? What is this all about? Well, again, we go back to our Bibles and church history to try and answer that. The Bible and church history tells us that Lydia was a seller of purple merchandise. Purple cloth is what it was. Purple fabrics. Purple fabrics were of great value. The dye that was used to make this purple fabric was a very precious dye. In fact, it came from shells, from mollusks is where this dye came from. And it was protected. It was protected by like a consortium, a group of merchants. And so it was of great, great value. And Lydia might have owned her own business or worked for a very wealthy merchant. We're not quite sure, but we definitely know that she was in this business of this cloth. And she went from Thyatira to Philippi. And there she would oversee the delivery and the sale of this fabric. And we get a picture of a very successful individual. She had servants, and she owns a house. But you know what? Her success in business, her wealth, that's not why this story appears in the Bible. The story appears in the Bible because of her faith and what takes place through her faith. Lydia's house becomes a place of worship. So Lydia, let me help you in this. Lydia is a woman who, first of all, prayed. You see, Paul found Lydia and these other women beside the river in a prayer meeting. Lydia was seeking God. She was hungry for God. She was yearning for God. She would be a woman of deep faith, wanting to know more about God. We're not told how she prayed or for what she prayed, but I can only imagine that she was praying to know God. She was probably praying for God to reveal Himself to her. And she was probably praying for her family, because I think that's what mothers do, right? Mothers pray for their families. I know my mother prayed for me. She prayed for my brother, for my sisters. I know that. I heard her at times. She told us. So she was a woman of prayer. But I think this is a principle for all of us. For all of us, if we want to encounter God in a deeper, more powerful way, we need to pray. We need to pray. There's something else that we find here is that Lydia was a woman who listened to God. She listened to God. You see, as Paul was telling the story of Jesus, Lydia was listening, and God was opening her heart, allowing her to hear and for faith to be birthed in her. She hears the voice of God telling her that this is true and that she needs to believe and her sins will be forgiven. You know, I think there's something here that all of us can learn. And that is sometimes we pray, but not with listening ears. You know? Now, I know that I probably am in that place. And to make it even clearer, even I talk to people and sometimes I don't listen. My wife this morning told me that because I said to her, breakfast is ready. And then I looked for her and I went over. And as a smart husband says, I said to her, you probably didn't hear. I said, breakfast is ready. And she says, yes, I heard you. I answered you. You didn't hear me. You know, how many of you talk to somebody and never listen to them? You can raise your hands. I don't want to be the only one holding a hand up. Okay. There we are. You know what that's like. And you know, it can be the same way in our relationship to God. We can pray to God. We can ask Him for all kinds of things and everything else, but never listen to what He says. I think it's so important that we listen to God. If we're asking God for something, let us hear what His answer is. And then Lydia did not only listen to God, God not only opened up her heart, but Lydia did one more thing. Lydia opened up her home to God. Yeah, that's what she did. Look at the text. Upon believing, being baptized, receiving the Holy Spirit, what she does is she responds with generosity to Paul and his traveling companions. She says to Paul and her traveling companions, come to my house. Come to my house. I'm reminded of Zacchaeus. Remember little Zacchaeus up in the tree, right? And what did he say to God? He said to Jesus, he said, you must come to my house. Or Jesus said to him, I must come to your house. You know? And here Lydia says to Paul and his traveling companions, you got to come to my house. And she persuades them to come to her house. After much persuasion, Paul and his companions do, and they set up base there in her house. And her house becomes the first church in Philippi. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Why is Lydia in the Bible? Because she was a woman of prayer. Because she listened to God. Because she opened up her house to God. She made available those things that she had to be used by God. Her faith and her testimony were so powerful that her entire household believed. And the kingdom of God was established and was built from there forward in this city of Philippi. You know, when I think of this and I think of opening up the house, I'm reminded of my mom. I'm reminded of my mom when I was little, when we were young. You know, when there was a missionary at the church, our house was always opened up. And many times the missionary would stay at our house. Our house and what we had was made available to be used for God. Now, as a little kid, I didn't quite get it all, and I didn't always appreciate that a missionary had to stay at our house. Why? Because that meant somebody had to give up their bedroom, you know, and that's sometimes tough to do, right? To give up your room and share your room, share with another sibling, you know. Anyways, I didn't always appreciate it. But, you know, I look back at that, and I begin to see a pattern and a trend, again, out of that. So, when our kids were young and it was missions week at the churches we were involved in, the missionaries would stay at our house too. We opened up our house. And today, I have a son and a daughter-in-law that that are pursuing missions. I wonder how that happened. And then I have a daughter and a son-in-law that are pursuing missions. And I only have two kids. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? You see how God uses us. The smallest things, can become the biggest things. Lydia, woman. And then the ironic, I think it's so ironic, that a man from Macedonia is waving, urging Paul to come. And he gets to Macedonia, and the man turns out to be Lydia. Amen. And Lydia uses, or God uses, that which Lydia has to build his church. Never underestimate what God wants to do through you. Never underestimate that. Whether you're a single mom, or someone who would like to become a mom one day, or you're a grandmother, or you're an aunt, never underestimate the kingdom impact that you can have. And this goes for all of us this morning, for every one of us. Just imagine for a moment, if we had a desire for God that would allow him to transform us into the person that he designed us to be. Let me say it again. Just imagine for a moment if we were seeking God and wanting to be the person that he created us to be. Would our world, would your world look different than what it looks at this moment in time? I think if we were sold out for Jesus, our world would look different. So we go back to say, what are the principles that we have learned this morning? I think the principles that we have learned this morning is first, prayer. We need to be people of prayer, but we also need people who listen to God. Not a one-way conversation, but it's got to be a two-way conversation. And then we have to be willing to give all we have to God to be used for kingdom building. Amazing to think that Lydia, did she know this? No, she just was willing to be used by God. Never underestimate what God wants to do through you. A church is planted, people hear the gospel, their lives are changed for eternity. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Father, we want to thank you so much for your love, for your grace, Father. We want to thank you so much for what we've heard this morning, Lord, out of your word, that you want to use us. And Father, that you want to use all of us for kingdom building. Lord, this morning, Father, whether we're a mom or a lady or a man or whoever we are this morning, Father, I pray that we would hear your voice calling to us. Father, that we would hear your Spirit working in us, and we would open up our heart to you, to be used by you for kingdom building. Father, this morning I want to ask that you would bless all the mothers that are here this morning, all the ladies that are here this morning. I pray that you'd bless them and that you would encourage them. Encourage them in a world that is so confused, Father. I pray that you'd encourage them in a world where achievement and fame seems to be what is important, where dressing right or looking right seems to be important. Father, encourage them in a world where sometimes it's so hard to be the person that you want them to be. Father, I pray this week that you'd come alongside the ladies here this morning and you would impress upon them your love, your desire for them, Father, that they would realize that they are precious in your sight. And so I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for coming, and we are dismissed.